Always good to talk with the president and CEO of the U.S. Meat Export Federation, Dan Hallstrom, especially when we have good numbers to talk about, and we do. Dan, thanks for joining us. Let's talk about the strong beef exports to Taiwan and South Korea.
Yeah, good morning, Mike, and thank you for having me on. Demand continues to be pretty resilient in 2020, despite all the disruptions of COVID-19, and you're exactly right. On the beef side, these beef muscle cuts saw amazing growth in the month of August. It was our largest month in over a year at 89,000 metric tons, which is about 4% growth. And this was led by record monthly data out of Taiwan, Korea, and China. Taiwan and Korea were up a little over 20% each, and China was almost fourfold increase over a year ago. So I think on the beef side, this is a testament to seeing some of the food service start to rebound. It's still not back to normal, but it is rebounding. A place like Taiwan, it is almost back to normal. Korea is still in a phase of the rebound, but while the food service begins to come back, we still have extremely strong retail demand and extremely strong online presence for the U.S. beef products. So on the beef side, we're excited about a few of these things coming together.
So tell us about the efforts that you've had going on throughout COVID-19 to keep U.S. meat products at the forefront in these countries that are dealing with a pandemic, not only to sell during the pandemic, but to see these increases once the pandemic, we start seeing improvements.
Yeah, well, that's a good question. We have staff on the ground in these countries, and even while we were locked down here and they were locked down there, there was still constant daily interaction. There was still activities going on at retail, especially and on the online platforms. And the amazing thing about it, all this disruption in 2020 is that people did not stop eating. They're still eating. They're maybe eating in different formats: less food service, less in restaurant dining, more online delivery, more retail presence to eat at home. And these are all things very similar to what's going on in the U.S., but I think the online presence in Asia especially is much higher than it is in the U.S. So we were well positioned to take advantage of this as an industry, and I think we're starting to see it come through in the numbers finally as well.
From a competitive standpoint, we often look at Australia as a competitor in these markets for beef. What's their situation right now?
Well, Australia has been very similar to a year ago data through July and August, but we're starting to see they're very short supply. They are coming out of their drought and they're holding the cattle, to rebuild. So the number of cattle available to come to market is much decreased from a year ago. So we're going to see that the last 4 or 5 months of the year as we go to the end of 2020 and into early 2021. There's going to be less product coming out of there, especially for the Asian market. So this is really an opportunity for the U.S. industry to gain back some of that share. And I think what we'll see on the beef side between now and the end of the year is we're going to make up a little bit of this deficit we saw from earlier in the year in terms of year-on-year performance. So while year-to-date we're down currently on the beef side, about 8%, we think that'll get closer to last year's level by the end of the year. So, yeah, we have an opportunity here to make up ground on the beef side.
We're talking with Dan Hallstrom, President and CEO of the U.S. Meat Export Federation. So when we look at the market like Taiwan, you have pointed out the U.S., really has dominated that market in chilled beef in recent years. We have more than 75% market share. In August, U.S. beef accounted for more than 80% of Taiwan's chilled imports. What's the growth potential in that market? Or are we about as high as you think we can get? Or do you think we can go even higher in that market?
I think there's potential to go even higher. And, Taiwan is a very very wealthy country. They're willing and able to pay for quality. And they very much prefer chilled beef to frozen for a variety of reasons. Number one reason being the higher overall eating quality you get from a chilled item. So, The other beauty of this chilled business is it's 52-week-a-year business. So whether the price goes up or goes down in a given week, they're buying every week. So it tends to be more of a program buy versus a price buy. You know, when you're buying frozen, you can kind of try to time the market. So this is the other hidden benefit of growing a market that prefers chilled beef. And the same thing on the pork side. We aim for a lot of markets for chilled pork for the very same reason. So combination of high quality and less dependence on price, and they're more interested in the program. So this is really the goal in a lot of the markets.
Let's talk a little bit more about South Korea. What's the potential there, you think, for beef?
Well, I think Korea's had an outstanding run the last two or three years. Record volumes and value last year in 2019. Now we have a few months in early the spring of this year where we were down significantly, but the numbers bounced back here in the month of August. They're big-time meat eaters in Korea, and they very much prefer the grain-fed, rich taste of U.S. beef. So I think Korea is well-positioned to have a very good last part of the year. We were up 22% here in August. I think you could see similar numbers in the fall. And they're also dependent on Australian beef. So, you know, similar to Japan, and Taiwan, Korea could also be an area where we gain extra share back at the end of the year. So, yeah, I think there's ability to grow. And, of course, we've got the Corus agreement where we have a superior tariff advantage going into Korea as well. So, I think things look really good for long-term growth in Korea as well.
Is there another market emerging that you kind of tab as, here's one to watch?
Well, on the beef side, I think, at the moment, Latin America, Central, South America, and Mexico is still in the throes of the COVID lockdown with tourism really shut down. But I think as they come out, this is another region to look at because it's just a matter of timing. Hopefully soon this fall, we're going to see them start to come out of their lockdown. And I think that's a real opportunity to come back with a vengeance, especially at the food service segment. So, and then there's other emerging regions too, like Africa. Africa shows a lot of promise long term. We're already our third largest destination for beef variety meats into Africa. So typically what happens next is we start to see demand grow for the primal cuts. So this is another area we have our eyes on.
Now, there's been foot and mouth disease found in parts of Africa. Could that play a factor?
Long term, they have a lot of animal health and food safety concerns, without a doubt, which once again highlights the quality aspect of U.S. products, beef and pork. So I think from a reputational standpoint and the growing economy of Africa, we're well positioned to fill, not only fill the void, but to be a premium source of protein into that market.
If I'd have told you January 1 that we were going to have a global pandemic this year and that you would have here in mid-October the numbers you have as far as meat exports, would you have taken it? Would you say, yeah, those would be good numbers if we're dealing with a worldwide pandemic?
I would have taken it in a heartbeat. I think it just goes to show the market is truly resilient, and people are going to eat. They're going to continue to eat, especially high quality products in the U.S. pork and beef. And I think the way they eat, of course, it's extremely chaotic. It's shifted all over the place in some markets more than others. But the bottom line is when you wash it out at the bottom, consumption is still strong.
And I think that's a key. How people consume food may be different for many post-COVID-19. So if you're in the meat-selling business, you have to adapt and adjust to that.
Oh, without a doubt, yeah, and I think that's the beauty, Mike. You hit on it. The some of these trends, and let's look at the digital online platforms. you know, this was a very active trend in Asia pre-COVID. I mean, they were on the forefront, places like Korea and places like Taiwan, you know, where this was a big deal pre-COVID. Well, now it's just jump started. I mean, people want convenience. They want minimal contact. There's more demand for online delivery, whether that's delivery to the home, delivery to the car in the parking lot, so you don't have to come into the retail store. These things are booming all over the world, but especially in Asia. So, yeah, this is not going to change. When we get back to having food service back to whatever the new normal is going to be, they're not going to stop using these platforms. These platforms are here to stay, and I think that's the case with a lot of these trends. You're going to see them here to stay, and hopefully help, you know, our demand side even more than it was before.
A lot of good work. A lot of good work being done by the U.S. Meat Export Federation and keeping those meat sales, those exports strong throughout the world, even during a pandemic. Dan, as always, good to talk with you. Thanks for the update.
My pleasure, Mike. Anytime.
Take care. Dan Hallstrom, President and CEO of the U.S. Meat Export Federation.